Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck of Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. And now, here is Ken Tuck.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. Thank you for joining us today. I hope your weekend's going great and that you're able to stay cool in this hot South Alabama heat. It was interesting. This past week, it was snowing in some parts of the country, and here we are in the seems like the middle of summer, but officially summer hasn't even began. But we know last week was Memorial Day weekend, which is the unofficial start to summer, and no matter what the calendar says, it's summertime. But praise God for summer, winter, fall, and spring. He's Lord through it all, and we give Him praise for it all. This morning, we're going to continue our study in Acts. Last week, we talked about the birth of the house church, and this week we're going to talk about the growth of the church and mainly looking at the apostles Peter and John and things that God did through them right at the beginning and persecution that also began in Acts 3 and 4. But before we open up the Word of God, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day. Another opportunity to live for You, to see You work Your wonders. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, as we open Your Word up, that we will read Your truth, and You are the truth. And we thank You for sending us Your Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us into all truths. Let us have ears to hear what Your Spirit has to say to us. Let us put Your words into action. Father God, just thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word this morning. Thank You for everyone who is out there listening today. Lord, ask Your blessings upon their lives. And Lord, if anyone is listening who just don't have that relationship with You, I pray today will be the day they call upon Your name, Jesus. And we give You praise for it all. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying the study of Acts. I've received some good feedback on it, and I appreciate everybody's encouragement and support. And if you'd like to contact me, feel free to email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Or you can call us at 334-494-4995. 334-494-4995. I'd love to hear from you. Whatever's on your heart, whatever you want to talk about, if it's Acts or if it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ or anything about the ministry, feel free to contact me. Last week, we talked about how the church of Jesus Christ was born, the birth of house churches, and how the people of God lived together, studied His Word together, fellowshiped together, took the Lord's Supper together, ate together, everything, taking care of one another's needs. And it's just exciting how house churches works, how God set this into place there in Acts chapter 2. And it's something that continues throughout the day. You see more house churches in countries where the gospel is not allowed. So they gather in secret in house churches. But it's also something that takes place here in the U.S. and I hope to see that it's growing. Some of it takes place in small groups. There's churches who are really built on small groups. So you have little house churches, if you will, all over the city. And then people come together and meet on Sundays to corporately worship together. The house churches are exciting. And I do want to share an exciting piece of news with you about a possible new house church. But this is in India. As a lot of you know, some of you may not know, but Love in Action is Love in Action International Ministries, and we work with indigenous pastors in other countries, six other countries, to help spread the gospel, and mainly with unreached people groups. And I heard from our lead pastor in India this week, and it was just so exciting. We have been to India, and we taught a lot on discipleship, teaching the believers there, the T for T method, training for trainers, a discipleship method, which is phenomenal and easy to replicate. And we've taught that extensively there in India, and the fruit that's come out of that is just amazing. We are hearing great reports weekly, several times a week, about what God is doing. And this past week, our precious brother, Pastor Prasad, contacted me, and he was all excited. And after I heard his news, I was all excited. But we started a training center there to teach women how to sew. That way they can learn a trade skill and earn income. And in this training school, of course, the gospel is being shared. And there was this lady from a village, a tribal village, that was completely unreached with the gospel. And she gave her life to Jesus. And he sent a video of her singing praises to Jesus during a service. And it was just awesome. And they are praying to be able to start a house church with her in her village to reach that unreached people group. Again, this is the first woman, the first person who's come to know Jesus in that tribal village, and that is exciting, and the house church is going to begin. And I just ask for your prayers that God will work wonders in that village and that many of those unreached people will come to Jesus. So that's exciting, and that's what a house church can do. So please keep our brothers and sisters in India lifted up in prayer. In Acts chapters 3 through 8, we see the growth of the church. We see the apostles preaching and God healing through them. We see them enduring persecution. We see later in Acts 6 and 8, in the latter part of the information about how the church is growing, we see how deacons have come about and the praying and teaching of deacons, as well as the deacons going through persecution. But we're in Acts chapter 3 and 4 today, and we see the church beginning to grow. We saw last week in Acts chapter 2 where Peter preached his first sermon, 3,000 came to the Lord, and therefore the church was born with those 3,000 added to it. There was already 120, and now 3,000 added to it. And in Acts chapter 3, it starts out with Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And so let's pick up on, we'll just start in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m. The Jews had three daily prayer times at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. So it's 3 p.m. and Peter and John are going to pray. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So here was a man who was lame. He was couldn't move, basically paralyzed. And he was laid in front of the gate, Beautiful, called Beautiful Gate, each day. And there he would be begging. Asking for alms, asking for money. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That is awesome. Here is a man, he's begging for money. But Peter and John gives him something that's so much more valuable than money. They give him Jesus, and Jesus heals him. In the name of Jesus, they prayed. They said, "Rise up in the name of Jesus," and he was immediately made strong. And every time I read this, I think about my brother Rick Denny, who went to be with the Lord, and how he was told he would never walk again, and Jesus healed him, and he got up out of that wheelchair, never got in a wheelchair again, and he walked until the day he went to be home with the Lord. Miracles do happen. We see them today. We read about them, and miracles aren't just for the past. They aren't just in the past. They're not just in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and throughout the New Testament. They're there, but they're also here today, and we see it happening. And that was just one example that I shared with you. We've seen God do so many awesome things here in the U.S., right here in South Alabama, and in other parts of the world, and it's just awesome what our God does. And all we have to do is trust and obey, be filled with His power, and we see Him do so many wonderful, awesome things that only God can do. The only explanations that we can come up with, or anybody can come up with on some of the things we've seen, is that it was God. In the name of Jesus, this lame beggar was healed. Everybody comes running, and they're in awe and amazement of what has just taken place. And here comes Peter's second sermon. Peter saw everybody coming towards them, and he says in verse 12, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him." So Peter is using verbiage that's very familiar to the Jews, and that's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. He wants them to understand exactly who he is talking about. And he says, "God glorified Jesus, his servant." And he boldly tells them, "You denied him in front of Pilate." Verse 14, "But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." Of course, that's being Barabbas. And he continues, "And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." This is a just extremely powerful moment. Peter refers to Jesus as the author of life, the one who gives life. So he is really driving home the point that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh, and that he is the author of life. And then he says, "whom God raised from the dead." This is yet another proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the Jews had to do to silence the apostles would have been to provide the corpse of Jesus and show the people, apostles aren't telling you the truth. But they couldn't do that because there was no corpse. Jesus had risen from the grave. He is alive. And the Jews could not refute that fact. And that's a powerful, powerful statement that Peter is telling them there in verse 15. And then he continues to say in verse 16, "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So in the name of Jesus, this man is healed, and he's in perfect health, and he is standing before you today. Again, something they cannot deny. Verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." Peter is telling them, you must repent. You acted in ignorance. This is your opportunity to repent. Turn back to Jesus. Turn back to the God of your fathers. And let Jesus blot away all your sins. It's like taking the ink off the pages. He will blot away all your sins. And then he starts talking about verse 20, the millennial reign of Christ, when there's this refreshing will come in the presence of the Lord, and just so many blessings and promises being fulfilled at that time. And the holy prophets talked about that. Peter is preaching repentance, and repentance is consistently marked in the preaching of so many great sermons that we read in the New Testament. We see John the Baptist in Matthew 3 preaching repentance. We see Jesus preaching repentance in Matthew 4, Luke 24, Peter preaching repentance in Acts 2, Acts 3, and 8, and 11. The Apostle Paul preaching repentance in Acts 17, Acts 20, Acts 26. This is a message that God definitely wants us to understand as he continually repeats the sermon about repentance. Jesus in Matthew 4, 17, that's the first recorded message of Jesus. He says, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then we see repentance being preached. Peter is going to preach repentance because he served under Jesus. He was discipled by Jesus. He heard Jesus talk about and preach about repentance. So he's preaching about it as well. And of course, Paul preaches about repentance. He knows about repenting, as we'll see later in Acts, how he persecuted the church. But then he met Jesus, and he repented, and Jesus, as we know, went on to use him in so many miraculous ways. But repentance, turn from our sinful ways, turn to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. Have you repented? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you turned from your sinful ways and turned to Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean all of a sudden, boom, you become perfect, because we are human after all. But Jesus wants us to repent. He calls us to repent. We're acknowledging, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've been living not according to your word, and I want to live according to your word. So I'm going to turn right now from my sinful ways. I'm going to turn to you and ask you to forgive me and help me to live for you. You know, that's how we need to pray and just call out to them. Just be real with them. And 1 John 1:9 tells us to confess our sins to God, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And that's something I do daily, is ask God to forgive me. I don't want to do sin that's willful, but we all mess up each day. Jesus is the only perfect one to ever walk this earth. But if we continue to just keep our focus on him, live for him the best we can in the power of his Holy Spirit, when we do mess up, we have our Father we can pray to. And God says he will forgive us and he will cleanse us. And if God says it, it's true. Because God is truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. So repentance is such a big theme throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts. Peter goes on to quote from Deuteronomy 18:15, and he's quoting Moses there, and he goes on in Acts 3:25 to say, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of earth be blessed. So Peter is telling them, Jesus Christ, the one you crucified, the one you need to turn to and repent, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant and its blessings. And those blessings are still available. Just turn to them and repent. That's what Peter's telling them to do. And that's how we end chapter 3. And in chapter 4, we see persecution begin. The religious leaders come and they arrest Peter and John. Because here they are, preaching about Jesus, about the resurrected Christ. The religious leaders are not happy. Just like they were not happy with Jesus, they aren't happy with his apostles. And as Peter and John were speaking, the priest and the captain of the temple and of the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were preaching to the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That was a topic that really, really ticked them off. If they wanted to make the religious leaders mad, all they had to do was talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders executed Jesus, calling him a blasphemer. And now here's Peter and John proclaiming his resurrection. And again, they could not refute that Jesus rose from the dead. The proof was there that Jesus did rise from the dead. And again, all we have to do is look at Peter to see that proof. We can look at many other things as well, but look at Peter. Again, he denied Christ when Christ was arrested, denied him 3 times. And now here he is standing in front of the very people who turned Jesus over to be crucified. And he's telling them, this Jesus who you killed, who you denied, he is alive. He arose from the grave. He's resurrected, and he's alive, and you need to repent. So the religious leaders were not happy. And we see, though, that the church is growing, because as we see in verse 4, that there's 5,000 believers now in the Jerusalem church, and that's cumulative. That's not 5,000 came to Christ after the second sermon, but that's the total number, and that's men. It says 5,000 men. But we also know that there were many women believers as well. So the number was beyond 5,000 at that time. And they arrested Peter and John, and they put them in jail. It was evening, so it was too late for them to convene the Sanhedrin, which would hear their complaints against Peter and John. So they put them in jail overnight, and the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered in Jerusalem, verse 6, with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power and by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Preach it, Peter. I get fired up reading this, man. This is awesome. Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin. Again, the same men who condemned Jesus and made themselves enemies of God. They condemned him. They denied him. Therefore, became enemies of God. And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, as we see there in verse 8, we may say, wait a minute, wasn't Peter filled with the Holy Spirit back on Pentecost? Yes, he was. But the Holy Spirit, we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon him again and filled him and just gave him power, just like Jesus said in Acts 1:8, that you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so Peter is filled with the power of God once again, and he is preaching the gospel. He's quoting Psalms 118, verse 22, there in verse 11, when he's talking about Jesus, the stone that the builders rejected, that, and he said that you, the builders, rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And so he is just telling them like it is, preaching the uncompromised word of God. And when he had finished, in verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and recognized that they had been with Jesus." Man, that's how I want people to see me. I want people to say, you know that Ken, he's been with Jesus. I can tell. And how can they tell? Because Peter and John were bold. And they were uneducated men. They were correct on that. They were not formally trained in Old Testament theology. They were not educated in rabbinical schools. They were trained by Jesus. Jesus trained them. Jesus discipled them. They were different, and they recognized that. And they recognized that they're walking around in this power of the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, and now they're seeing Jesus working through them to heal people. And they can't refute any of that. They see the man standing there, and he's healed, and they cannot deny the fact that he's healed. And so they meet together, and they say, "Look, what are we going to do now?" Verse 16, they say, the religious leaders say, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. they were at their wits' end. They said, look, this miracle has happened. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. What are we going to do? So they get this great idea. Well, you know what? Let's warn them. Let's tell them they are forbidden to teach, to preach in the name of Jesus ever again. Like Peter and John's going to listen to them, right? So they tell them, Peter and John, that. And then verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. It's right to obey the laws of the land. We need to be law-abiding citizens. But the day the law tries to tell us to deny Christ, then that's when we listen to God. Well, we need to listen to God always, but you know what I'm saying. The law of the land does not supersede God's laws. And if the law of the land tells us we cannot worship Jesus, well, I'm not going to listen to that. I'll be like Peter and John, and I'll get arrested for worshiping Jesus, not denying him. And they tell them, look, we're going to continue. If you think it's right, if you think it's wrong, you be the judge of that. But we're going to continue because what we have seen, what we have heard, we cannot keep quiet about that. And we're going to continue to share. And that's what we need to be as believers. We need to be bold like Peter and John. We need to tell people what God has done in our lives. And that's our testimony. We tell people what God has done in our lives. And it shows them that God is real. God is working. And God's working there in Acts, but he's also working today in 2019, and our testimony proves that. Our testimony shows people that, and we need to not be silent, but tell people about Jesus. And so they went on, and they further threatened them, and then they were released. But when they were released, they went out, and they reported to their friends all that had happened, and they got excited about it. In verse 24 says, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Awesome. We see that instead of praying, oh Lord, let the persecution stop, they prayed, Lord, give us more boldness. God heal. God show signs and wonders. And as on the day of Pentecost, there was a physical phenomenon that took place, it happened here. This time, the earth shook, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they started, once again, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in power and boldness. And that is just awesome what God will do in our lives if we just turn to him. Persecution is going to come. Jesus warns us about that throughout the Gospels. And so instead of crying about it, we call out to God and say, God, give us more boldness. God, do great wonders, miracles, perform signs and wonders for your glory. And God does it. So praise God. We're going to continue next week in Acts. We got to stop. Well, I'm out of time today. Thank you for joining us. I pray that God will bless you and keep you, that he'll cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and that he'll lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck from Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. To find out more about Love and Action Ministries, go to their website, loveandactionministries.com, or on Facebook.